Well, amen. That was a blessing, wasn't it? I was thinking when Pastor Larry was talking about the reasons for God blessing our church like He does. And of course, I agree with what he said. We have a little philosophy that goes like this. If you tell people how to get to heaven, God will tell people how to get to your church. And we're not just, and this has been my drumbeat since I've come here, that we're not just trying to build a church. As a matter of fact, we're not trying to do that at all. We're trying to build you. And that's why we train you to win souls. And that's why I preach to you the Bible and teach you the Bible. And that's why I study 1,000 hours a week. Seems like it. And because we're trying to build you. And when we go out here and to a nursing home and we tell somebody about the Lord, in just about every instance, they're never going to come to our church. But if we can show them the way to Christ and keep them out of hell, we've done our job. And so that's why we have, one reason why we have God's blessings upon us like we do. There's another reason. There's many reasons, I'm sure. We'll not know till we get to heaven. There's another reason why God blesses this place like He does. A young lady that just sung for you a moment ago had a tragedy in her life just a couple of weeks ago. But yet she can stand up here and sing to you about how faithful God is. And all the Ricky family can put their son in the ground at 12 o'clock and be in church at 7 o'clock. And that's why, one reason why God blesses this place like He does. Can't go wrong just doing the right thing, putting the Lord first, serving the Lord. And I never will forget sitting right over here, and I look across, see Gene Rickey sitting here playing the trombone. I see his daughter standing up here, over here, interpreting for the deaf. I don't know that I'll ever get over that. I missed about 15 minutes of the Living Cross that night, just praising God for these dear people. Well, I got to preach sometime tonight. Hold on a minute. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I think we're all going to be surprised when we get to heaven and find out why God blessed like He did. And I can tell you, it's not because of me. But it's all these little things that add up. Every time my dad comes here, he opens up the bulletin to see how much the offering was. Every time. It never fails. And I just pray when I know He's coming, Lord, please let us have a good offering. And boy, every time God has answered our prayers. One time it was like $48,000, and that just blew him away. He could not believe that. The next time he looked at it, it was like $52,000. And boy, he just went on and on forever about that. And the last time he was here was right around the end of the year. And that was the Sunday we had that big offering, Tom. You remember, what was that? It's like $65,000 or something. Wasn't it something like that, all told? Something like that. And because some folks had given some generous gifts at the end of the year. And when I walked in and I saw that bulletin on Friday, I opened it up and I was reading the bulletin and trying to remember what I said in the back of the, you know, in my column. And I looked down and I saw that offering. I said, "Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord." And my dad came in, he saw that. He said, "You know how many Sundays we'd have to get $72,000 in the offering?" And I said, "No, Dad, how many?" "Well, a whole bunch." But it's the faithfulness of people that give. There's so many things. So just so many things. And we have a lot to be thankful for. You all couldn't see, but just a few moments ago, Alan's up here leading his song, tears running down his face. I've just been blessed tonight. I don't know about anybody else, but I've just been blessed tonight. And All right. I think I'm okay. Look at verse 23 of this 11th chapter, please. These are such familiar verses to you, but I want to read them, and then I want to take you back to the Old Testament, and then we'll end up here. But I just want to show you a little thing tonight I hope will be a blessing to you. Verse 23 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep.'" That's the word cemeteros, where we get our English word cemetery. And Paul said some folks have even died. They've died prematurely for taking the Lord's Supper unworthily. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." All right, let's turn back now to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. You can put your bulletin or somebody's elbow in First Corinthians 11. We'll come back to it in a minute. But go back to Exodus chapter 12, and let me read you a couple verses here. I want you to notice with me, first of all, verse 11. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11. This chapter is where God gave Moses the Passover instruction, and Moses gave them to the people. In verse 11 it says, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Notice that. It is the Lord's Passover. And every year they were to observe the Lord's Passover. Now, look please at verse 24. Verse 24, it says, "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? In other words, why are we doing this? What's the point? Why are we observing this Passover? Verse 27, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. I want to speak to you tonight primarily out of verse 26, where the Bible says that when you get over in the land and the years have passed and your children come to you and want to know why we're doing this, he said, I want you to know what to tell them. I want you to be able to explain it to them. And so I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, just what is the Lord's Supper? It was being abused in Corinth. It was not being done correctly, reverently, with the right attitude and the right heart. And so Paul had to set things in order. He had to write some instruction and tell them how to do the Lord's Supper. And I want us to pray, and then I want to show you a couple of things tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the blessings that you've poured out upon us. Lord, thank you for faithfulness and how it stirs our hearts. Lord, thank you for answers to prayer. Thank you for strength. And Lord, as we come into your presence now and look at these verses, I pray that you'll bless us. And Lord, give us a better understanding of the Lord's Supper tonight. Help us to get a little better understanding of what it means. And Lord, may we enjoy our communion, our fellowship with you tonight. And Lord, as the table is spread in just a little while, I pray that you will bless it. It'll be even more rich in meaning to us than ever before. And so, Lord, bless us together now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Bible is an amazing book. The more you read it, the more you learn it, and the more you learn, the more you love it. I've many times said to you from this pulpit that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The two go together, and they work together. I read for you a passage of Scripture in the New Testament that talks about the Lord's Supper. And then I took you back and I read you a passage in the Old Testament that speaks to you about the Lord's Passover. Here in this chapter, Exodus 12, God is giving Moses the directions and the instructions for the Passover feast. They were to observe it once a year in celebration, in honor of the fact that God led the children of Israel out through the blood. They put the blood on the doorpost and on the sidepost and on the bottom, and then when the angel of the Lord passed through, when he saw the blood, he passed over that house, thus the term Passover. And every year they were to celebrate and they were to observe the Lord's Passover. And it is a beautiful picture. We find a beautiful picture in the Passover of the redemptive work of Christ. If you'll look at chapter 12 and verse 5, you will notice in chapter 12, verse 5, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish. Can I remind you of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19? 1 Peter 1, 19, I will not take the time to look it up, but write it down so you can go home and read it. It's 18 and 19, they go together. But chapter 1, verse 18 says, that we have been redeemed, not with corruptible things, not with the vain traditions of our fathers, but we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And then Peter said, as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Would you look please at verse 6? In verse 6 it says, and ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall, what's the next word? Kill it. Shall kill it in the evening. The lamb was to be slain. The lamb was to be slaughtered. It was to be killed. I remind you of John chapter 12, verse 24 and verse 27. And in that passage of Scripture, the Lord was talking about how a seed has to fall into the ground and die, or it cannot give fruit. And He went on to explain that He was God's seed, that He came to bring forth fruit and to be slain, to be slaughtered, to be hung on the cross, and to be killed at the hands of evil men. Then, if you will, look at verse 7. And you will see in verse 7 that it says, they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper post of the house wherein they shall eat it. So not only was the lamb to be without blemish, and not only was it to be slaughtered, and not only does the Lord Jesus fit those two pictures perfectly, but also the blood had to be applied. It had to be applied to the door. And the blood of Christ has to be applied to the door of your heart, or you're not going to be enabled to go to heaven. You've got to be born again through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remind you of the New Testament passage that talks about this. I looked it up a minute ago and had it, and now I just lost my mind. And I didn't lose my whole mind, just lost that little part of it. But I don't know, man, I lost my whole mind. I don't know. But let me read for you Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. It says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So what we have in the Passover is a beautiful picture of the redemption that Jesus provided for us when He went to the cross. I think it's clear, and I think all of you see that picture in His death on the cross. The Lord Jesus became our Passover Lamb. Jesus became the New Testament Passover. Now, concerning the Passover in this 12th chapter, the young people of Israel were encouraged to ask why and what the service means. And the Lord knew that in a few years that some time would go by, and He knew that the children who were not there when they passed over, they were not there when God delivered them, they knew that they would ask questions. And in verse 26, or verse 27 through verse 36, God tells the parents how to answer the children. Now, folks, we observe communion around here every 6 weeks. Tonight is the time when we observe the Lord's table or communion or the Lord's Supper. And I was thinking that maybe there might be some young converts here tonight, or maybe some folks have been saved for years, and you wonder, why do we do this? Maybe there are some young people or some young Christians or some children who question its meaning. Why do we do this? Well, I want to give you a couple of things tonight that I hope will answer your questions. I want to give you some reasons and some things to think about as to why we observe the Lord's Supper. Now go back to the passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians, and let me just share a couple of thoughts with you tonight. First of all, I want you to understand that the Lord's Supper is a reminder. The Lord's Supper is a reminder. You will look in verse 24 and you will also see in verse 25 at the end of both verses it says, "This do in remembrance of me." What we're going to do here tonight, we're going to remind ourselves just exactly what the Lord did. I remind you also that in verse 27 through verse 36 of the 12th chapter of Exodus, God gave instruction to the children of Israel that they were to remind their children of God's deliverance, and that they were never to get to the place where the children coming up did not understand the purpose and the meaning behind the Passover. And so now here we are in the New Testament, and the Lord gives us a little reminder. The supper reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered us from the bondage of sin, and through His precious blood we have been set free. We're no longer unsaved and on our way to hell. We are saved and on our way to heaven. And so the Lord Jesus told the disciples, and He told the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul quoted it here in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25, and he said, "This do ye in remembrance of me." Now, do you still have your finger in Exodus? I should have told you to stay there because we're going to bounce back and forth. Look at chapter 12 and verse 14. Look at Exodus 12, 14. It says, "And this day shall be unto you for a" what? "Memorial." For a memorial. The Passover was a memorial. And I can think of no better way to memorialize the death of our Savior than that of meeting together in His name, in His house, and to take the bread and to take the juice and share it together as a church family, remembering what Jesus did for us. In just a few moments, in a little while, someone will pray, probably me, specifically thanking the Lord for providing our Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will sit quietly and we will pray and we will meditate together upon the fact that Christ loved us, that He died for us. We will think personally about it and realize that not only did He die for us, but He died for me. And then together, in one accord, we will eat and drink, not for our salvation, not for demonstration, not for show, not just to be religious, but we will eat in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. Remembering that we were once lost, but now we're found. Remembering that we were once unsaved and full of sin and on our way to hell, but now we've been set free and we've been washed in the blood. We will remember that once we were in sin, but that Christ died for our sin, and now sin has no more dominion over us. We're going to remember that. So the Lord's Supper, first of all, is a reminder that we've been delivered from sin's bondage. It's also a reminder that Jesus is an absent friend. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute, folks. You remember on the eve of the crucifixion, He was with His disciples in that upper room. And when the Passover was finished, He then took some bread and some juice and He instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. And the Lord was present. He was there. He personally served the disciples on that Passover evening. But when we take the communion tonight, one will be absent. Out of sight, but not out of mind. He's not here physically, but He's here spiritually. I never will forget when we left the church, Bell Creek Baptist Church in Dixie, West Virginia. This is the fifth church that I've pastored. And every time the Lord's ever moved me, I did not want to go. Every time. And when I was at Dixie, I pastored there for 6 years. I was 24 years of age when I took that church. I was young, energetic, all excited. and just delighted to be able to say that to see my name on the marquee that I was the pastor of the church. And I gave that little church every ounce of energy I had. I cut my preaching teeth at that church. Oh, they put up with so much. God bless them for their endurance. And when the time came that I knew the Lord was leading me out, I called the deacons together and I told them that the Lord was moving me. And we sat in my office and we cried and we begged and pleaded God to change His mind. But the Lord wanted me to go. And so I said, guys, I've got to go. You've got to let me go. I know that this is what the Lord wants me to do. And they said, Pastor, if you're going to leave us, then we want to have a big shindig and send you out in grand style. And so I don't know how it all got started, but everybody in the church made something. They all made something. Either a little plaque or a little thing you hang on the wall or a throw rug or something. Everybody made something. And for years after that, and we still got some of it stuck here and stuck there around the house. And for years after that, I would see those little mementos and I would see those little things in the house. And as a matter of fact, just this afternoon, I was sitting at the house. I looked up on a little shelf Karen has hung in the den. And there was a little wooden bucket sitting up on top of that L.D. Moore made for me with his hands. It's just a little wooden bucket, and L.D. Moore he could do anything with wood, and he made me that little bucket. And I noticed when I looked up on it that it has two rings on it, two metal rings on it that hold the thing together like an old bucket used to. And one of the rings had fallen down. And so I went over and picked it up, stuck it back on, put the thing back up there again. I sat and thought about L.D. Moore, who's now in heaven. And those little mementos, every time I looked at them, brought back to my mind those dear people that loved their pastor. And I still today get cards from them, hear from them. I mean, it's been 20 years, but I still hear from them, still get calls from them, still get emails from them. And we've never, although we're separated by many miles, we've never, never parted ways. And folks, when you take communion in just a little bit, I want you to remember your absent friend. I want you to remember the one that went to the cross and gave His life for you. I want you to remember that He loved you, and when He was on that cross, you were on His mind. I want you to remember that. That's what this is all about. Remember the God that loved you. Remember the God that sent His Son, and His Son laid down His life for you. But also know that when you partake of the communion tonight, that you got a promise. That same God is coming back to get you. You look at your Bible, please. In verse 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death, what? Till He come." So when you partake of communion in a little while, realize this could be the day. My dad called this afternoon. We sat and talked for a while. And he started talking about Iran having nuclear bombs. He said, "What do you think about that?" And I said, "Don't worry about that. Israel will fix that. If it gets serious, Israel will shut them down." "Well, Russia's going to get mad." I said, "That ain't nothing. Don't worry about Russia. They all talk." Dad said, "You think they'll shut them down?" I said, "Well, they shut Iraq down when Iraq got them." And I said, "They're not going to sit there and let their country get bombed. That's just not going to happen." And my dad said, "Well, I sure wish the Lord had come back." I said, "Yes, me too. Amen." That'd solve everything for us, wouldn't it? That'd solve everything for us. Oh, woe be to the world when He does. But you see, folks, we got a promise. He's coming again. And His own words were, "I come quickly." You say, "Well, why hadn't He come?" Because He's still saving souls. That's why He hasn't come yet. How many did you say got saved on the buses today? Huh? Three? Still saving souls. Still working. And the long-suffering patience of God delays Him from coming. But folks, He's coming. But now, something else I want you to see, and I'll wrap this up because I don't want to keep you late. But secondly, I want you to see with me that the Lord's Supper is an exhibition. You see, we got two pictures up here. We got some bread and we got some juice. The bread is a picture of the broken body. You see, Christ's body was beaten and His flesh was torn so that the blood could flow. I could stand up here all day before you and not bleed. But as soon as you break my skin, I must bleed. And Paul said in Hebrews 9:22 that as was pictured in our text with the lamb, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. In the 13th verse of Exodus 12 that we read a moment ago, God said to Moses, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, I know the liberals and the modernists and even some so-called quote-unquote fundamentalists are teaching today that the blood is not necessary. But my friends, you take the scarlet thread out of the Bible and you may as well take the Bible and throw it in the trash can. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Isaiah 53:5, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. And that doesn't mean physically. That means spiritually. Then we have the juice. The juice is a picture of the blood that was shed. Notice we have both. We have bread and we have juice. We pass out the bread first. And then the juice. There must be separation. For when the flesh was broken, only then could the life-giving blood flow. And the blood flowing was a sure token of death. But both work together to show us our Savior on the cross taking our place in death. And then thirdly, the Lord's Supper, not only is it what I say it was first, it's a reminder. I needed an E word there. I couldn't think of one. Secondly, it's an exhibition, and then thirdly, it's an examination. The Lord's Supper is a time of examination. Do you think that God wanted the children of Israel to go over and over and over and over, year after year after year, with each and every following generation, just so the children of Israel would have a good history lesson? Of course not. No, sir. They were to remember God's blessing and God's goodness, and it was to drive them to the altar of sacrifice to bow down and glorify and praise God. And folks, communion is a time for us to remember the Lord's mercy and grace. And as we think about it and remember it, to turn our focus and our attention to Him and give Him the praise that He deserves. Look at verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11. In verse 27 through verse 31, the Bible here says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. I want you to notice a principle here. There is nothing here that discourages a Christian from taking communion. Everything that's written here is an encouragement for you to take communion. Everything that's written here. I've heard preachers say, and I've even said it myself when I was younger and hadn't really studied this thing out, but I used to hear preachers say, now listen, if you're not right with God, don't you take communion tonight. I haven't said that in years. What I tell them is this, hey, listen, if you're not right with God, get right with God. You're a Christian. You got throne rights. It's a time of examination. Paul went on to say in verse 28, but let a man examine himself. I don't want to stand up here and examine you. You examine yourself. I got enough to do examining me. Don't say amen right there. What's wrong with you? Shame on you for saying that. Let a man examine himself. I mean, if you got sin in your life, when the men are passing out the elements tonight, or in just a moment when I extend an invitation, leave your seat and come up here and get at the altar and get your heart thoroughly right with God, and then go back in fellowship with Him tonight. My goodness. That's why we have communion, is so we can all get our hearts right with the Lord and fellowship with Him. Confess your sin while the men pass out the elements. Now, granted, if you're saved but you're too rebellious or too sinful to repent and get thoroughly right with the Lord, you shouldn't take communion. But the encouragement is for you to take communion. And you've got throne rights. Enter into the throne room and get your heart right with God, and then take communion tonight. The wording of the instruction encourages the believer to take communion. But there's one more thing. Look at verse 33. I saw this word a little while ago while one of these guys was talking. I don't remember which one. Look at verse 33. He said, "Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat," what's the next word? Tarry. Do you know every time the word tarry is mentioned in the New Testament, it has the idea of earnest prayer? You remember what the Lord told the disciples on the Mount of Olives? He told them, go back to the upper room and tarry until you hear from on high. And for 10 days they went back and tarried before the Lord. You remember when the Lord took Peter, James, and John, and they're on the Mount of Olives just before He was arrested, and He said, tarry here, and I'm going to go right over here and pray. He went over and prayed, and they fell asleep. And He came back and He said, what, could you not tarry just a little while? Could you not tarry? And every time the word tarry is mentioned, it has the idea of earnest prayer. That's why I don't think when we're having communion, you ought to be sitting there gawking around, checking out, seeing which light bulbs are out, how many squares there are in the ceiling, how many squares can you count in the cross. I don't think you ought to be doing that. It's communion. It's supper. It's fellowship. It's tarry. Spend the time with God. Spend the time with the Lord. We got to take communion over in China. Last Sunday we were there. One of the house churches was scheduled to have communion that morning. And they asked me if I would serve communion. And I said, no. No, no, no. I said, I'm always serving communion. I want to watch. I want to get in on this blessing. And they said, are you sure? And I said, Pastor, you do it. I want the blessing. You do it. So he went to Glenn and he said, Brother Glenn, would you do communion? Glenn said, oh no, I want the blessing. Amen. Neither one of us wanted it. That's his church. Let him do it. We want to get in on the blessing. And oh my goodness, was the blessing sweet. And they came back. I was in the back of the building, and by the time communion started, there was probably about 50, 60 people in the room. And by the time they got through stepping over everybody, because we're in a little old room, no wider than from me to Pastor Rick, and about maybe 15 feet long, and there's 60 people in there, and we were sitting everywhere and standing wherever there was an open space. And by the time they got back to me with the bread, I took a piece of the bread, and then he went on past me to a couple other guys that were behind me, and I look up front, and all you could see up there were these clenched fists and on their knees and just praising God and just pouring out their souls. And I thought, ooh, that's what communion's supposed to be like. Tearing before God. Not sitting there saying, well, why does he get to pass out communion? Well, who asked him to help? Not sitting there saying, oh boy, tomorrow's going to be a busy day. But tarrying before the Lord. And folks, this Lord's Supper is a blessed event. It's a blessed event. It's a time where we yield our own hearts to God, but also to one another. It's a time where we can get right with the Lord. It's a time where we fellowship with God. I trust you'll take that opportunity to do that tonight. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, we love you tonight, and we just want to thank you for loving us. And Lord, I know with these old sinful bodies that we don't love You like we should. But Lord, we do love You. We wouldn't be here tonight. And Lord, we sure do need You to bless. And Lord, we need You to draw us close to Yourself tonight. Put a burden on our hearts. Father, we need to, as a church body, recognize and realize and remember what You did for us when You sent Your Son to go to the cross and give His life. And He became our Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Lord, all those Old Testament lambs only covered sin. That's why they had to do it every year. But Lord, Your Son went to the cross and He takes away our sin. And we're so thankful for that. And so tonight, Lord, as we observe the Lord's table, I pray Your blessings upon it. Father, would You speak to our hearts tonight? I pray that whatever need is present, that, Lord, that need will be met at the foot of the cross tonight. As folks join the church, as folks follow You in believers' baptism, as folks rededicate their hearts and just come to pray, Lord, who knows, but maybe there's some folks here tonight that need to be saved. Lord, may they see their need of the Savior tonight. Just do Your work now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.